Hello, this is Stephen Childs, The Way of Fairness. I want to start off by telling you about some dreams last night where I was in a fight against theists of one type or another, and it got pretty vicious. I've had dreams before where the person I was in a disagreement with appeared as a potato. It's like he was the potato in the dream and I could cut him up with the kitchen knife. And it was having an effect on the guy in my dream. And I know there's a lot of psychologists that disagree with paranormal phenomena, but if they actually experienced it, they wouldn't disagree with it. They might lie that they disagree, but they wouldn't actually disagree. In other words, they might actually believe in ghosts themselves. If their private life, they would say, yes, I've experienced ghosts, but in public, they would say, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. I think that happens. That kind of thing happens a lot. People will see a UFO and they'll say, no, I didn't see a UFO. You think I'm crazy? That kind of thing. So the roots of this fight that I've been in go back. I guess I was born into this fight. And this guy that I dreamed, he's a potato. I met him years ago, and he was associated with a man who was saying that his God is all loving, all powerful, and all forgiving. This would have been in the early 90s when this experience happened, where I was actually at AA, and people were encouraged to come up with their own concept of God. And this same fight can be seen in the history of AA itself between the theists, Christian theists, and the people that formed Alcoholics Anonymous that were atheists or agnostic or any other religion. And there was a conflict from day one in the formation of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, my own personal experience when I started to work the 12 steps, and it talks about confession to someone you trust, a sponsor or spiritual advisor, and they're supposed to keep their mouth shut about what you tell them. It's supposed to be secret. So it's similar to confession in Catholicism. And when you have somebody holding and hiding lots of secrets that are potentially harmful to people, the person that's the keeper of the secrets has a lot of power over the people that know the dirt of the other person, is one way they explain it. In our world, people try to destroy other people by getting them found out in doing something unacceptable to the group of people that's in power. The majority of the people might not really care, but the people that are in power and the laws of the land are such that, like sexual scandals, for example, have to be kept secret, and people like Trump has been caught bribing people so that they would keep their mouth shut about sexual activities he had, and this goes on all the time. Okay, so it can involve murder, theft, any kind of thing. The Catholic priest might hear all kinds of things. Who knows? Now, where you have the power of good, you also have the power of evil. And by good and evil, I mean fair and unfair. So, the people that are unfair and they don't care about being fair, they will hurt people if you was to narc on them, rat on them, snitch on them, etc. They would hurt you. So this world of keeping secrets, there's a lot of power, a lot of emotional power energizing humans in this area. And so when I started looking into this, I almost lost my mind. I was breaking free of the religious restraints that I grew up in, and I'd learned about Gnosticism and Zen Buddhism, and that did the trick. I got free from all previous beliefs for the first time in my life, and I was ecstatic. I was extremely energized and happy, hopeful about the future. And I didn't realize that it was going to be a long process, a long, difficult process that I was embarking on. And the journey that I was on was about the actual truth. So I want everybody to know this is about the actual truth, and everybody's invited to serve the actual truth. That's what we're doing here. And we are against unfairness. So I've realized that the battle between good and evil is simple. It's very simple. It's just simply unfairness must be ruled by fairness. Fair people must rule unfair people, or else we're in trouble. You can see that going on in our world. Okay, so I knew something was going on with the secrets and with other people possibly knowing what I'm thinking. And I can't read minds, but I do experience telepathy from invisible, secret, unknown. They might be extraterrestrials, spirits of what some kind. And so I'm not alone in this. A lot of people do. A lot of people do, that they deny it so that they're not accused of insanity or something. You know, they used to burn witches. And there's people these days in the Christian fanatical, Christian white nationalism that are talking about doing things like that again. It's really getting it's becoming scary what they're saying. The right wing Christian nationalists. So I'm in this fight against evil, and I'm finding a lot of the evil is centered in the religion. And it's about the secrecy. That's why, in the way of fairness, we stress that we're going to keep your secrets. You just have to agree to be fair. We're not going to say anything to the law of the land. They're welcome to join us too. All the attorneys, all the judges, all the policemen, all the legislators, everyone in the government, in the religions, in the people that are atheists, whatever, everyone's welcome in this, because this is a way to unite and solve this problem that I'm trying to present to you in a way that it's understandable. And there's more history in AA where the Christian side of this Oxford group that I'm going to be telling you more about, they tried to convince the Nazis before Hitler became really radical to be Christian, but the people that were with him were studying the Hindu religion. Heinrich Himmler had a copy of the Bhagavad Gita with him all the time. And that is one of the tactics I have in fighting this war I'm in against evil in the Christian religion. And it's unfairness in the Christian religion. And let me tell you something. It's going to fight you back if you're like me. And I think everyone's the same. When we attempt to stop unfairness, it fights back. So that's why they have to know we're not going to rat on them. That it's going to be secret. Just stop being unfair. We don't care what you did in the past. It's secret. It's like the confessions made to the father, or the newcomer alcoholic confesses something to his sponsor, and it's secret. So this is a must. I didn't realize how important this was until, through trial and error, I found out. Because when I present the idea that we don't care about your past, then people would be interested. They don't want people talking about their past. I don't either. So back to how AA started, and I'll put a link to this. I found it on a search. AA started in riots, and this is from the story of Clancy H. Snyder and the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous in Cleveland, Ohio. So AA came from the AA Christian group, and the people that didn't want to stay Christian, like Bill W. that wrote the book, he didn't like the idea of the czar of the universe for God. And a lot of other people don't like it. See, that's Gnosticism in a nutshell. That God is the czar, a tyrannical czar of the universe, and we don't like him. So choose something else. Whether that be Shiva. Because who is Shiva? You are. In the Hindu religion, you're taught that Shiva is you. Shiva is everything. Shiva is the all. So it's a mythology that uses what I don't use a mythology. I just call it the all-powerful all. Well, that's what Shiva is. So Shiva is you. Shiva is me. And so who's Christ? Well, Shiva is imaginary and so is Christ. They're both imaginary characters that don't actually exist. But when people say Christ is me, that's insanity. But when people in India say Shiva is me, well, it's like, we know. We know that that's what we've all been taught. You know what I mean? So it's a different religion. One is non-dual and one is dualism. Theism. There's the God, the other individual that created everything, that has all power, can forgive you for everything, and you can do something wrong to me, and he forgives you, and he enables you to do wrong to me. As long as you surrender to him, then he likes it when you do wrong to me. That's what I've been going through. Does that make sense? The people in this cult-like religion, they look at Islam. They behead people that aren't members. So the people that are atheists, that aren't Christian, they're attacked by Christianity and in various ways. It's like the problem is that they have this teaching that Jesus forgives them of whatever they do. Well, there's no such thing. So that's what my fight has been about. And I use to fight their idea of the all-powerful. That's why I'm using the idea of the all-powerful. And it's based on logic, that everything is one thing. It's based on reason. And it's just the actual truth. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about some story. So The people that left the Christian religion, they started their own meeting, and I'm not going to read this whole page, but they didn't want them to. Dr. Bob says, you can't do this meeting on your own. And they did it anyway. So Dr. Bob, the Christian, had told them that they can't have their own meeting. And they had it anyway. And according to Clarence, the entire group from Akron showed up the next night and tried to discourage the Cleveland meeting from happening. Discourage was a very mild term. According to Clarence, and he used it sarcastically. He said, "The whole group descended upon us and tried to break up our meeting. One guy was going to whip me. I want you to know that this was all done in pure Christian love." See the sarcasm? AA started in riots. It rose in riots. Clarence was often quoted as saying, "If you don't stand for something, you're liable to fall for anything." Thus began the very first AA meeting. It was completely free of the Oxford group. It was a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was a meeting held by and for alcoholics and their families only. And it began in riots. So that's the end of the quote. I'm not going to read from that anymore. I'll put a link to it, to this history of AA, to document how it started with this fight against the Orthodox Christians. And now I'm going to go to this video on YouTube, Come to Monotheism is the name of the channel. Come to Monotheism. And Lawrence Krauss is talking with Hamza Zortzis. I don't know how to pronounce his name. T-Z-O-R-T-Z-I-S. So anyway, the idea here that the Muslim man is saying is that this video exposes the myth of atheists are rational. So he's claiming that atheists are not rational. And
for example, and I got this from my friend, my late friend Christopher Hitchens, is it sensible to assume that humans evolved in their present form somewhere between 250,000 to a million years ago? So you have a God who creates a universe and has 4.5 billion years of life evolving, and then Homo sapiens evolve and live in incredibly awful conditions and for 250,000 years, and suddenly, in the middle of the desert, in a cave where no one can see it, he takes some poor schmo and says, "I'm going to tell you the truth. And not only that, I'm going to allow you to save humanity. And in fact, if people don't believe you, they're going to go to hell for eternity. And we can talk in great length, in great sadomasochistic length, about the torture they're going to have, and we can all enjoy it. Now, what about all those poor 250,000 years of people, of real people who were struggling to exist and survive, those poor people who were existing before that God decided to give his revelation to Muhammad? Why that? Why would a sensible God wait that long? And of course, the interesting question you have to ask is, why are the revelations always done when no one can see them? If you're asking a court of law, you'd say, well, you know what? It just doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it call down from the sky so everyone can hear them? Why is it always given to people in private who then claim they've had a revelation?
Again, another huge straw man. You've misrepresented Islamic theology. We have a very nuanced theology, sir. I think the best thing to do, if you were sincere, you would have said, "You know, Hamza, I don't get this. I haven't read this before. I'm just making my own mind up because I watch videos of Christopher Hitchens and he's an authority to me. I don't know much. Can you tell me what Islam says about this issue?" That would have been better, wouldn't it? But again, it's a straw man. And when it comes to things like hell, we believe God is all just and all merciful, okay? No one disagrees with the concept of punishment, okay? You're not going to disagree with the concept of punishment, are you? So when it comes to people who haven't heard about Islam, there's a whole array of theologians like Ibn Taymiyyah and Al-Ghazali who said that there's going to be another form of justice for them. They may be tested on the Day of Judgment based on other prophetic traditions. It's not as simple as that. Okay.
So he's saying there's punishment that's going to happen from from Islam. And he's also saying that what Krauss said is a straw man fallacy. And that is absolutely absurd. Because what Krauss said was very clear. And he's asking the question, what about this God that has all power and all this love? Why did he only tell Muhammad and not everyone else? So why did God only tell Moses the Ten Commandments and not everyone else?
No, there's a difference.
So there's a similar situation that happened with the Cathars, and so I just Googled it to see if I was remembering correctly, because I had learned that they were killed by the Catholics because they were claiming to have the right to pray to God independently of the authority of the Pope. And so the Pope started killing them. And this is what I Googled. Cathars rejected the teachings of the Catholic Church as immoral and most of the books of the Bible as inspired by Satan. They criticized the church heavily for the hypocrisy, greed, and lethargy of its clergy, and the church's acquisition of land and wealth. So, unfairness is greed, selfishness is another way of saying unfairness. Greed is a form of unfairness. Selfishness is a form of unfairness. And that's what we're trying to stop. Now, the Jewish people had the idea that their God was the only God. And then he would say, you can't worship the other gods. So they're not saying there was no other gods to worship. They're just saying in the Old Testament that if you don't surrender to the God of the Jewish people, that you would be killed. So this is the history of humanity and religion in the West in particular. You don't see that happening in the East recently, because the Hindus have learned how to get along with the polytheism. They have lots of different gods. And that it also comes from one Godhead. And the three, if you really understand it, they're talking about nature, creation, preservation, and destruction. And there are non-dual teachings in Buddhism and Sikhism where it's like all for one for all kind of thing. And that goes for every one of us. So every one of us is for the all, and the all is for every one of us. Every one of us is the most important one. In other words, we're all the same. So, Lawrence Krauss is an atheist. I'm an atheist also. And I heard of Lawrence on a video called The Universe from Nothing, A Universe from Nothing. And he was being interviewed, he was introduced by Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist that explained evolution to us very effectively and was a vocal critic of harmful religion. Most religion is harmful. There can be exceptions. We can make a religion that's one of its beliefs is this cannot be harmful to anyone or unfair to anyone. So that's the way the way of fairness is. If they ever want to make a religion, we can do it. We can make a religion based on the all-powerful. So we can argue with the other people that are claiming their God has all-power and we'll say, no, your God doesn't, because ours includes everything and yours doesn't. So there. You know, it's like a silly argument. But that's how you win. You win with making a silly argument to them. Because that's what they're doing to us. They're making a very silly argument about various gods that have all power, and all these claims, and why did he just tell the one man? This was Lawrence Krauss's point. Why did he just tell Muhammad? Why did he just tell Moses? Why did he just tell Jesus? And so on. So, Krauss has this program for lay people, for common people, to explain what science has realized, that the universe happened from nothing at all. And that matches up with Buddhism in the Heart Sutra, that that which has no form is also that which has form. And that which has form is also that which has no form. So this understanding of the actual truth, it liberates us from the feeling of being trapped in reality, trapped in our skin, because it's like an illusion. It's just an interpretation of our ego that has a problem with it. So by being a part of a positive cause to help fellow mankind, it's very helpful to be a part of something that's bigger than the individual ego. Like, I surrender to the all-powerful all. My ego, it gets rid of my ego problem instantly when I do that. And I serve the all. So that means I'm serving all the people. And it gets me thinking correctly as a human, as opposed to being selfish and greedy and unfair. So I'm going to go to the next clip, and it's Lawrence Krauss again talking with Jordan Peterson. So here's a clip from Is Science Nested in Religion? Jordan Peterson versus Lawrence Krauss on YouTube, and Lawrence is arguing with Jordan Peterson. I think that's a very appropriate thing to do.
I argued recently, in fact, at Oxford Union, and they didn't get the point because they're all woke, but the students. But there were, you know, there was a debate.
That's terrible. That's a terrible thing.
I know.
If that's the case, it's so terrible.
You'll be surprised. There was a debate on. The question was, we are all religious, and I asked to speak on the pro side. My colleagues, my atheist colleagues, who people you know, were on the anti side, and they were shocked that I wanted to speak on the pro side. And my argument was quite simple. If we weren't all religious, we wouldn't need science. If we didn't all want to believe.
Right, that's exactly right, man.
Okay,
right.
Okay, so we agree. I mean, they didn't get the point. And I
would argue. Yeah, well, that was part of what I was trying to point out to Sam Harris, is that, mm-hmm. and this is something I learned at least in part from reading Jung, like his claim was that alchemy,
So I'm going to interrupt it there, and Lawrence Krauss is arguing that science is a way of thinking that wants to believe something. We do want to believe something, and that's what I was just talking about. We need to have something bigger than our ego self to serve with, some belief system that allows us to serve the other. But the religions are failing because they're exclusive. They need to be inclusive. So we don't have a religion that's inclusive, that says this is not a separated group from everyone else. This is everyone else. This is everything. And so Jordan Peterson is going to argue that we need the religion to keep us on the straight and narrow, to keep us from, I forgot the word he used, you'll hear in a minute. And Lawrence Krauss is arguing that there's common ground here. And Peterson says we need to be redeemed. And anyway, he'll explain how he sees it. Peterson thinks that we have to be with the Bible God. He thinks we have to be with Christ. And I'm saying there's not one to be with, but there's us.
ideas of alchemy grew out of a religious foundation, and then science emerged out of alchemy.
Yeah.
It's like it's nested. Science is nested inside an alchemical fantasy that's nested inside a religious fantasy.
Well, so, I wouldn't say nested. I would say it grew out of it. Like, I was born from my mother and father who, you know, and I like to think that I grew, that a lot of what I, who I am is that, but I grew out
but
of
I,
it.
But here's why I think it has to be nested still.
Okay.
Now, and this is something we could talk about a lot. The objects that draw a scientist's attention.
I'm going to interrupt Peterson again. That's what he's famous for doing. He'll say, there's books that we could write on this subject about proving there's resurrection or whatever. And so you're lost in the detail. And he relies on that complexity in his argument. So he does the same thing with the word redemption. What does that mean to him? You know, it's like, Google it, see what it means.
Aren't determined by scientific processes. You're the fantasy. You see what I mean? Is that you get interested in some things and you pursue those. Now that's informed by your scientific knowledge, but so Jung's point, for example, was that science was a materialist redemptive myth that grew up as a counterposition to the spiritualist redemptive myth. Right. So you imagine there was an idea which.
So. Peterson is saying that there's a counterposition of the truth that comes from science versus the truth that comes from religion, and truth is not fighting itself. Truth is one. And Peterson's arguing that the religious truth is superior to the science understanding of truth. And actually, the religious position is not truth. It's falsehood. So people like Peterson are thinking the only hope for humanity is us for to throw truth away, so to speak, and be devoted to falsehood. And I think that's absolutely absurd and tragic because of the harm we're doing to others through religious wars and through environmental damage and through the conflict. We can't get anything resolved because of this conflict.
Which was that we could redeem our inadequacy through spiritual discipline.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, we try.
So Peterson says we have inadequacies that we need to have redeemed through Christ, I suppose, is what his argument is, or through religion of some kind. He's recently had this come to Jesus experience and he really connected with Jesus. I don't know what that's about for him, but I know what it's about for me. It's about me being cheated by people like Peterson, and Peterson is cheating Lawrence Krauss because Krauss is trying to bring good to the world with truth, actual truth, and the awe and wonder of existence. And Peterson is an enemy to truth, claiming to be supporting truth. That's what the Christian religion does. That's what the Islamic religion does. That's what the Jewish religion does. When they claim that Yahweh is the all-powerful, that's a lie. So, this idea that he's inadequate. Peterson says that he has this inadequacy that needs to be remedied. Well, the inadequacy that he's talking about is that he's been told that his whole life growing up, that you're not this and you're not good enough and you need Jesus and you can't do it yourself. Nobody else can. It's the shame thing. So Peterson's expressing he's shame-based in his personality. And I see Lawrence Krauss is understanding this, and he just sits back and listens. And I'm going to circle back to the beginning of the video, or I mean the podcast, where I was talking about the dream I had last night, and I was fighting against people that are claiming to represent Jesus or claiming to be Jesus. So that image is what I was attacking, because it condemns me. It condemns me if I don't surrender to it, and I never will. The Bible says that all knees will bow to Jesus. No way, that's not going to happen. They're talking to people that won't bend their knee to Jesus, like Islam, that it's an inevitable holy war. And the Muslims think it's going to be a holy war too. Well, no, it's not, because we're not going to let them. Because we have reason. We are rational. And like the Muslim man claiming that atheists are irrational, that's another bold-faced lie. And we need to, as people, unite for the actual truth and for the unity of humanity and the good of all humans. And that's what this is about. That's what the Way of Fairness is about. So all of us humans have various thoughts in our minds all the time. And my speculation is that there are higher beings here that our mythological gods were stories to explain the existence of these other beings. And these other beings are paranormal. They won't let us actually prove they're here. They don't want to. They don't want to prove it to skeptics. They don't have to. They're not required to prove that they're here to anyone. It's like me as a human being demanded by an anthill, by some ant, that I prove that I'm here to the ant. Well, what do you got in mind? Should I step on you or what? You know what I mean? What would I do to prove to you that I'm here? You can't see me because I'm so big that you can't even see me. And anyway, it's just ridiculous that the skeptics think that these other beings are going to ever prove themselves to them while they're skeptics. They might and they might not. It's up to them. It's not up to the skeptic. It's up to the skeptic what the skeptic does, and it's up to these proposed beings what they do. So I made a video, The Secret Unknown Invisible Ones, and because I don't know if they're extraterrestrials or not. But they, like I was saying, all the humans have various thoughts. We have thoughts about Jesus and Satan and Allah and science and replacement theory and politics and what we're going to have for lunch. And we have all these thoughts. Well, these other beings that do know our thoughts, they are working with the thoughts that we're having. So there's like a really loose-held unity of humanity that they keep us in. We're within them. They're like, they became everything. So we're within them. And this is my speculation that's similar to a spiritual belief. But it's not spirit. What is spirit? Define that. It's something that you can't see. Well, it's mind. So there are other minds. So Buddhism doesn't talk about spirits. It talks about other minds. Sentient beings. Beings that have mind. So I really don't think we're alone here. And when I'm serving the all, I'm serving them. And I feel love for them. You know how people from our religions, we've had people that feel love for God? That's what this is about. But the difference is, it's not using a mythological explanation. It's using factual evidence, personal and from others as well. And it's also using the examples from religion, like William James talked about in the Varieties of Religious Experience, that there's good stuff that happens from religion. And see, Krauss talked about that. We're also in the camp of people that want to believe as scientists. And we just want it to be the real truth. And there's no reason that it can't be. It can be the real truth. It should be the real truth. So there's also speculation that some of these extraterrestrials are adversarial to humans. My experience is that's true. And there's one that does not want my way of thinking to become a big thing, because it depends on the deception for it to have power over us. When we're no longer deceived, this alien that's trying to control us will not have power over humans. When we no longer believe in artificial fake gods, we also won't be giving them any power. They rely on these false teachings from religion. They and their followers, like Jordan Peterson, want me to surrender to Jesus. They want me to come to Jesus and surrender. Well, I'm not going to. So I'm a problem. That whole gang of people, that whole cult, that whole group, that whole country, that whole universe, whatever, however big it is, it's against me in not surrendering to it. That's what this is about. We don't have to surrender to anything else than our own self and the actual truth. If we don't surrender to the actual truth and to our own self, our own limitations, then we're going to be headed for disaster from other people that we're being selfish and greedy toward. So Peterson talks about Carl Jung a lot. I've had dreams Carl Jung is a bad guy because of theism. And that's why. So I dreamed as Carl Jung being like a Satan. And Satan is like the side of this religious teaching. There's God and Satan. They're the same one. It's just the mean side of God. And so, you know, you're not ever supposed to say that Jesus is actually the devil. Don't say that. Don't ever say that. But people think that. People serve the devil all the time, saying that they're serving Jesus. It's common practice. So, what they're trying to do is get you to surrender to someone else. We only have to surrender to being ruled by the law. That's required as citizens. As people in the jurisdiction of the government, we are ruled by law. And I'm glad we are, because we have the right, we have the Bill of Rights, we have the freedom of religion. We can be an atheist, we can make our own, we can make this a religion, the way of fairness. If we want. It's not going to be, there's no leader. It's just people that are serving the all as an all-powerful thing, because it is. It's everything. Because it's everything. Everything is everything, right? Thanks for listening.